Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Acts chapter 3. We're going to finish that chapter up today. Once again, we're continuing our series through the book of Acts, a series titled The Force Awakens. If you were wondering what's up here on my podium, if you weren't here last week, Sheila, our children's pastor, told me early on that, man, you got to, you know, she decorates her rooms when they have these themes that are going on, and she decorates stuff, and she goes, you got to decorate the church. You got to have up your Force Awakens, and your, you know, because if you don't know, it's a Star Wars kind of theme anyways. But so last week I showed up, and she had these magnets on my thing here for me, and I opened them up, and I put them on my podium. So this is my my props for church, for big church up here now, okay? So this is my Force Awakens theme. Props going on here, but we've been walking through this series titled The Force Awakens because we've discovered here in the book of Acts that the Lord poured out His Spirit upon the apostles and the followers of Jesus, and they're discovering this force that's been unleashed through their lives, and it's the Holy Spirit, and it's the power that comes with the Holy Spirit. Now, we saw this last week as we looked at the first part of chapter 3 and this amazing miracle that Peter and John were a part of. As this man who had been crippled for over 40 years was miraculously healed. And this miracle that happened, it drew a lot of attention because many people recognized, wasn't this the guy that's been begging for years? Wasn't this the crippled guy out there at the gate? And it says that at the end of verse 10, which we read last week, that these people were filled with wonder and amazement because of what had happened to this man. And so these people had gathered and they're in amazement because of this amazing miracle, because of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And now, because of this, a crowd has gathered around this man and has gathered around Peter and John. And so Peter, he seizes the moment. He takes advantage of this moment, this opportunity here, and he begins to share the gospel with all of those that have gathered around. And this is where we're going to pick up this morning in chapter 3 as Peter begins to share message, this sermon with these people that have gathered. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Acts 11 through the end, verse through 26. This is what it says. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if our own power or godliness, as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of your father, has glorified His servant Jesus. You handed Him over to be killed, and you disowned Him before Pilate, though He had decided to let Him go. You disown the holy and righteous one and ask that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what He had foretold through all the prophets, saying that His Christ would suffer. Verse 19, repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that He may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as He promised long ago through His holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. but you must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. Now, I have to admit, as a pastor, I'm a little jealous here of Peter's abilities, okay? This is the second time in a row that we see Peter begin to preach a sermon here at a moment's notice. No sermon notes, no presentation software, okay? Now, the reality is it takes me hours to sit down and to study and to prepare my sermons that I'm going to speak here on Sunday mornings. And then I stick closely to my notes, right? To make sure I don't miss something or say something wrong, okay? But Peter seizes the moment, right? And he just steps up and begins to share this powerful message with this crowd that is gathered around him. Now, the thing is, I believe that as a pastor, it's important that I take time to study, that I take time to really hear the Lord and to speak the words that He desires to speak through me. But I also believe this, that like Peter, we have to be in tune with the Spirit so that we recognize those opportunities that the Lord puts in front of us. Opportunities to share the truth of what we know and have experienced when it comes to the Lord. This Scripture, the sad thing is, this Scripture makes me wonder, how many times have I failed to take advantage of those opportunities the Lord has put in front of me? How many times have I failed to seize those moments? This Scripture here, once again, speaks to the importance of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The importance of walking and operating in the power of the Holy Spirit so that we don't miss those opportunities that He puts before us. Peter here, he was operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. We saw that from the healing that took place in this man that we talked about last week. He was operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't miss this opportunity. And so I want to take a little time this morning to look at this powerful message that Peter spoke, that really was the Holy Spirit speaking through him to this crowd. Now, much like Peter's first sermon, this message is the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you break it down, it's the good news of Jesus and what he brought for all people. But as I studied this message, there was one particular scripture that stuck out to me. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, basically. It's verse 19. Verse 19 says, "Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out." And here's the part that got my attention. "That times of refreshing may come to you." That part there, that times of refreshing was what kind of jumped off the page at me. How many of you would love times of refreshing? And just saying that, you know, just times of refreshing. It just feels good, right? It kind of makes you peaceful when you just hear it. It's kind of refreshing just to say it. Times of refreshing. Isn't it kind of peaceful? Let me ask you this. I'm going to pull a youth group. I've been hanging out with youth, okay? So I'm going to pull a little youth group, the way I operate in a youth group a little bit here. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to actually let you respond. Tell me, what are some words or some things that you think of when you hear that, when you think of refreshing, times of refreshing? Just yell out some things. When you think of refreshing, you know, some people it might be ice cold lemonade, you know, iced tea, lemonade, whatever, the beach, all right? What else? What are some things that you think of when you think of refreshing? Air conditioning, nap, yes, I like that one. I need one of those today, I think. Shower, yes, refreshes us, cleans us. Quiet, yes. It's hard to find sometimes in a house with young people. What was that? Strength, yeah. Refreshing. What? Calmness, yes. When there's that quietness, that calmness, it's like, you know. It's like when my kids leave the house in the morning, right? You know? Wow. No, just kidding. I love my kids. But they can, you know, there's noise that happens when people are around. And it's nice sometimes when everybody's gone and you're just like, it almost feels awkward, doesn't it? It's like, what's going on? It's too quiet. The calm before the storm. But no, those things bring refreshing to our lives. I know for me too, one of the things that I thought of, and this takes me back a while, but when I was youth pastor in Eugene, I was part-time youth pastor, part-time cabinet maker with my dad and his shop. My dad's shop is on their property. They live out in the country, and his shop's on their property. And they had, you know, one of those above-ground type of pools. And I remember in August, man, I'd just be out there working, sanding doors, and you'd be sweating. And I could see out the window that pool. And my thing was, oh my gosh, as soon as I am done, I'm going to go grab my trunks, because I had an extra pair of trunks at my parents' house, and I'm going to jump into that pool. And I'm telling you, you know, when you've worked a hard day and you're sweaty, you know what I'm talking about. So you just, it feels good. It feels good just to go and to jump in that cool water, and it's just like, refreshing. Or maybe other people, it's opposite. You like to, you know, go get in a hot tub, you know, and just refreshing. There are many things that we can think of that bring refreshing to our lives, but of all the refreshing things we can think of, the fact is nothing can compare to the renewal of the mind and spirit that is found in the presence of God. So this morning I want to take a look at this scripture, and I want to just share with you, through this scripture, there's many other things that bring refreshing to our life, but when I look at this scripture, there were three things that stood out to me that I believe help us experience times of refreshing in our lives. And the first is this: we experience refreshing by turning away from sin. Turning away from sin can bring times of refreshing to our lives. Verse 19, it starts by saying, just the first word, it says what? Repent. Repent. That word repent means to turn. It literally means to change direction, to make a U-turn. So it's understanding this, that we're heading in the wrong direction. It's understanding that something in our life isn't right, and we need to turn it around. We need to change. And when we look at it from that perspective, I want you to know this, it's more than just feeling sorry for the bad things that we've said or done. This idea of repentance stems from a deep sense of regret or remorse. And because of that regret, we desire to turn away from sin or sins that have brought this conviction from the Holy Spirit upon our life. And here's the thing, it involves more than just an emotional response. It requires action. It requires us making that move to turn around. It takes action. And here's the thing, there's two types of sorrow. There's two types of sorrow. There is human sorrow, and there's godly sorrow. Now human sorrow is when we're sorry simply just because we got caught, right? We're not necessarily sorry that we were doing what we were doing. We're just sorry that we've been exposed, right? That we've been found out. But godly sorrow is different. Godly sorrow is when we're truly sorry for what we've done. We realize we've messed up and we're sorry. And we don't want to head in that direction and we want to change. In the Bible, in the Word, it says that godly sorrow brings about repentance. True repentance comes from godly sorrow, and true repentance results in change. Because we're truly repentant and we know that we have to change, and we turn and we begin to head in the right direction. If you remember Peter's first sermon on the day of Pentecost, we talked about it several weeks ago. The people responded. They responded to His Word. Listen to what it says in Acts 2, verse 37. I think I've got it to go up here on the screen. It says this: when the people heard this was His first sermon, the gospel and what they were sharing, they were cut to the heart. Godly repentance. They were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" They understood they were heading in the wrong direction. They understood they had made mistakes, and they were asking, "What do we do? How do we change this?" They were ready to make the change. They were ready to take action. They were ready to respond. That's repentance. Not just knowing that things need to change. Many of us, we know things need to change. Yeah, I know things need to change, but I'm okay right now. I'll do that later. I'll deal with other. It's not just knowing things need to change, but it's actually doing something about it. And so that question, you know, how are we doing when it comes to this call for repentance in our life? Are there things in our lives we're doing that we know it's not right? Maybe there's something God's been challenging us on, and we just try to, no, that's not God, right? We do that. But maybe there's things God's been challenging us on, but we haven't done a good job of responding to those challenges. We've heard Him, maybe, sort of, kind of doing this, you know. But we haven't been obedient. We've failed to repent, to change direction, and to turn away from those things that get in the way of our relationship with the Lord. Because we have to realize that when we make that choice to repent, to turn from whatever it is that we struggle with, it removes the barriers between us and the Lord. Because sin separates us from God. It brings division between us and God. And as we remove those barriers, it opens the door for His refreshing Spirit to be poured out upon our lives. We become freed, right, from the conviction, from the regret and remorse. And we can be refreshed by the righteousness that can only be found in Christ. So turning away from sin brings times of refreshing to our life. And here's the thing, this is something that we have to do again and again. It's not a one and you're done kind of thing. Oh, I already done it. I'm good. Because a lot of people believe that, but it's something we have to do again and again. The reality is, we're human, and we fail time and time again. But when we fail, the key is this: it's that we pick ourselves up, that we give it to the Lord, we repent, and we turn back to Him. And we allow God to bring these times of renewal and refreshing to our lives. Now, if we read on in verse 19, we'll see that the next way we experience times of refreshing is by turning to God. It says, "Repent then and turn to God." So after we repent and turn away from our sin, we have to turn to the Lord. Now, here's the thing. Have you ever noticed with your children or with young people? Really, this isn't even just young people. It's all of us, right? But I've noticed sometimes with my kids, when they've done something wrong, they don't want to look you in the eyes, right? you kind of know something's up. Oh, hey, yeah, that's all right, you know, and they kind of try to dodge you, you know, they don't make eye contact. They often even just try to avoid you altogether, right? You know, it's like, oh, we don't want to, you know, and this isn't just kids. Even us as adults, when we failed people, we oh, gosh, there's so-and-so, man, and, you know, we try to avoid them, right? But this is the same thing we do with the Lord. When we've sinned, when we fail, we try to avoid Him. Because we know that things haven't been right. It's the nature of sin. It's been our response from the very beginning, right? Remember Adam and Eve? When they first sinned, what did they do? They went and tried to hide from God, right? As if you can hide from God. They didn't want to face the consequences of their action. But as we know, and I said that, we can't hide from God. And the longer we refuse to turn from Him, the longer we refuse to turn to Him, the longer we'll struggle with these feelings of guilt and failure. Repentance and turning to God, they go hand in hand. They work together. We turn away from sin and we turn to God. And as we turn to Him, it brings this sense of refreshing to our lives. When we repent and turn to God, this burden of sin and guilt, it's lifted off our shoulders. We do a good job of walking around with it. Yeah, man, you know, we're afraid to come before God because we're just like, I messed up. But that's when you have to run to Him, because He lifts that burden from us. He takes our sin, and as it says there in verse 19, He wipes it out. And that phrase used there, wiped out, it says, it literally means to erase. He erases. He wipes it out. He has the power to erase our sin and failures. Now let me say this, because I don't want to give a wrong impression here. It doesn't mean that we won't face consequences for our actions, okay? Because many of us are like, okay, God, I'm ready. Come help me, you know, and we want Him just to take everything away. Well, no, He can heal our hearts, but sometimes there's the consequences of our actions that we go through. We live in a fallen world, and sin breeds consequences. It's part of a fallen world. But as we turn to the Lord, He extends His grace and forgiveness in our lives. And knowing and understanding this brings this refreshing spirit to us. We can experience a sense of peace in knowing that as we begin to move forward, we don't have to keep looking back over our shoulder, because God has taken care. He's erased that stuff. And even though we may have some of the consequences, we can continue to look to Him. We've been forgiven, and our sins have been erased. Our sins have been washed away, and we experience that refreshing through what we did earlier, communion, through the power of His blood. We may experience consequences for our actions here on earth, but He paid the price for our ultimate consequence, right? He died so that we wouldn't have to die, that we could live eternally with Him. His blood washes away our sin. I love that song. Many of you know that song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And knowing this and understanding this brings times of refreshing and renewal to our lives, knowing that we can turn away from our sin and we can turn to God and He washes us clean. So we experience this refreshing by repenting. We experience it by turning to God. And then we experience it by walking with Jesus. If we continue in these verses, it says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that He may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Now, He goes on to say that He's gone to be with the Father. And Jesus here has already come, okay? He lived, He died, but He rose again, right? But Peter tells them, Jesus is coming back. He's going to restore things the way that they're supposed to be. He's going to take us back to live eternity with Him. But until then, It's about a relationship with Him. It's about a relationship with Jesus. The reason we repent and the reason we turn to God is so that we can have relationship with Him. As I said, this sermon that Peter preaches, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good news. And when you know the gospel, it's realizing our failures. It's realizing we're sinners. It's realizing this, it wasn't just the religious leaders that put Jesus on the cross. We too are responsible for Jesus' death. It says that He paid the price for all sin. That means every sin that was ever committed, but also every sin that ever will be committed. All of our sins, we put Him on the cross. That includes us. And He did it. He went on the cross for us so that we could have relationship with Him. He provided a way for our sins to be erased. He provided a way for our relationship with God to be restored as that separation had taken place, and He brought restoration. And now we're called to walk with Him, to live life with Jesus, to live the life that Jesus has called us to live, to experience this new life in Christ. And as we walk with Him and live the life that He's called us to live, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can experience times of refreshing in our lives. And I believe that we will experience them more and more as we continue to walk with Him. Are we experiencing these times of refreshing in our lives? If not, then we need to ask ourselves, are there things that I know I'm doing that I shouldn't? Or maybe even, are there things out there that I'm doing that I'm trying to be oblivious to it, and maybe I am oblivious to it, but things I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing? Are there things that I need to repent of, that I need to turn away from? And in doing that, am I turning to God? Or am I turning to other things? Because a lot of times we don't turn to God, we turn to other things. And am I walking with Jesus? Am I living the life that He's called me to live? Which means this, it means obeying His commands. It means doing our best to live the things that He's called us to live, which when you break it down, it's loving Him and loving others, right? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Am I walking with Jesus? Am I living the life that He's called me to live? If we do this, I really believe that we can experience those times of refreshing in our life, that as we repent, that as we turn to God, that as we walk in the life that Jesus has for us, we may live in a fallen world. We may experience all sorts of awful things in this world, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can experience His refreshing. We can experience His peace and His grace upon our life. That's what it's about. Living the life that He's called us to do, making a difference in this world, and experiencing His power that we may be the witnesses, right? This is what all Acts goes back to. That you may be my witnesses. The power comes so that you can be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this word. Again, really, it's the gospel message, but it's so easy for us as Christians to get caught up in, yeah, I'm a Christian, and yeah, I'm whatever, but forget that we still fail, that there are things that creep back into our life, things that we need to turn away from, Lord, things that we need to let go of. I know we're not perfect, and You say, come as You are, but as we continue to come, Lord, You begin to show us those things that we need to let go of, that we can begin to live the life that You've called us to live, Lord Jesus, that we can turn away from sin and turn to You and begin to walk in this life that You've called us to live, that this life that becomes light, that shines to this dark world around us, Lord Jesus. We thank you again for this word, and we just pray, Lord, you challenge us where we're at. We want to experience times of refreshing through the power of your Spirit, Lord Jesus. But Lord, if we're going to experience those things, it means that we got to give up stuff, Lord. We got to turn away from sin. We got to turn to you and walk in the ways that you've called us to walk. And so, Lord, I just pray each of us where we're at, that you just speak to our hearts, Lord. I love that you're a God that meets us where we're at. We're not all in the same place, Lord. We're all at different places in our walk and our relationship with you, and you come and meet us where we're at. Lord, maybe there's some of us that there's things we're struggling with. We just need to learn how to repent and turn from them. Maybe there's some of us, Lord, that we've been trying to turn from those things, but we're turning to the wrong thing. Lord, we're not turning to you. Help us to turn to you, Lord. And maybe as we've done that, we continue to do it, but then we don't walk any differently. We don't walk with you and live the life that you've called us to live. And so you're challenging us. Don't just say, continue to ask for forgiveness for these things and hope things will change. No, you want us to ask for forgiveness for these things and to seek you and to begin to walk in this new life that you have for us, Lord. And so meet us where we're at. Challenge us, Lord, in these areas that we need to be challenged. And I pray that as we take heed to those challenges, Lord, that we would experience what your word says, these times of refreshing, Lord, these times of renewal in our life, that in the midst of this fallen world, in the midst of the difficulties and challenges around us, Lord, we can experience your peace and grace and mercy that flows over us through your refreshing power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you for these things. Challenge us where we're at, Lord. Help us to live the lives that you've called us to live. We just give these things to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.